Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 1:18 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 9th, and we have had a great deal of volatility in here today, but the major stock markets have finished well off their lows. Tariffs are due to be imposed at 12 a.m. on Friday morning, so approximately 8 hours from now. And President Trump has made some statements in here today to the effect that he still hopes that there is going to be a deal finalized this week, but that is going to occur after tariffs have been imposed. China has stated over the course of the week that they're going to retaliate if there are tariffs imposed. So there's going to have to be a very significant de-escalation if we are going to see a deal completed this week. But the statements to that effect have certainly helped to buoy markets in here today. And the Dow Jones, for example, was well off its lows. What I found particularly interesting is that it has bounced from the region of the trend mean. So this is, I think, perhaps what we would call the first area of potential support, and it is starting to come through in here, so that is a positive. It's right in the region of the peaks, so it's also quite normal that you would see some consolidation in the region of previous peaks. People ask the question, what next? And just by asking the question, what next, there are going to be some people who decide that they're going to take some money off the table, others who are thinking that the market's going to break on the upside. So you get a market made, and there's indecision, so you get a pause. That's exactly the same thing that we're seeing on the S&P 500. Having pushed on to a new all-time high on May 1st, it's pulled back by approximately 100 points, certainly on a closing basis. Intraday, it's a little bit more than that. But 100 points reaction is quite similar to the moves that we saw in March. It's also serving to unwind, at least partially unwind, the overbought condition relative to the trend mean. If this is the extent of the pullback, then that would really be the absolutely most benign set of scenarios. But I think it wouldn't be at all surprising to see a somewhat larger pullback, particularly from the region of the trend mean. So I think, sorry, from the region of the peaks and back towards the trend mean. And what that suggests is that we might be in for a little bit of additional back and forth trading over the course of the next few weeks. What was also, I think, particularly interesting in here today was that the VIX index, having pushed on the upside earlier on in the session, didn't quite hold on to all of the advance. So we are starting to see at least some trading around the possibility that there might be a deal announced. If not today, then within the reasonable short term. So I think that's a rather important factor. There is obviously going to be a lot of relief in the markets if a deal is announced. Now, what I think is quite likely is, or at least the most important aspect when addressing this situation, is that it's not exactly polarized. There isn't a yes or no, because even in the event that we do not get an agreement today, it is still likely there's going to be some form of agreement, and it is really only a question of how long that takes. That's, I think, giving the benefit of the doubt to the potential for some additional upside over, or at least once we do get a deal announced. Now, what I find quite interesting in here today is to focus on the commodities, because soybeans in particular has been pulling back aggressively. It is right in the region of the lows posted last year. There has been a clear downward bias to trading since 2016. The decline we've seen over the last 3 consecutive weeks has been really quite accelerated in nature, but we're back in the region of a previous low, and there is the potential for a positive catalyst in the form of a trade deal on the assumption that that is in fact a possibility. What we also can see is that there's a high degree of commonality in these grains and beans. The corn market was also in negative territory over the course of the last week. It has been putting in a base formation over the course of the last 4.5 years. So when it can eventually push above that 400 cent level, that's going to be a very meaningful event. So I think that's certainly something to bear in mind. What is also worth highlighting is that over the course of the last few years, we have had meaningful rallies into June. There have been significant peaks in June of or May of the last few years. That has definitely not been the case this year, and part of the reason for that is because of the trade war. There is obviously some form of cyclicality to the grains and the growing season. There's also a cyclicality to lean hogs because of the slaughter schedule. When we look at wheat, it is also back in the region of its lows. Cotton prices have held a very gentle upward bias over the course of the last 3.5 years, but the price was down in a dynamic manner in here today, and it is now right in the region of the most recent one of those lows. If it's going to bounce, it's going to have to do it and do it really quite soon. Then, when we do think about the slaughter schedule for lean hogs, well, it doesn't really get started until the June roll. So there is the potential here that we're going to see some additional upside, and this has been a pretty orderly consolidation in the region of the upper side of the base, and the price did firm again in here today. So that is looking, I think, potentially like something that could break on the upside in here. Well, if we step back and look at the continuous commodity index, it has been ranging now for just about 3 years, and it pulled back rather violently in here this week to touch the lows from 2017. If this range is going to persist, and there has been a clear downward bias to trading for more than a year already, it is going to have to bounce, and it will have to bounce in a dynamic manner and do so rather soon. What we are definitely seeing, though, in the oil market is that this $70 area does appear to be holding, and despite the volatility we've seen on some of the other assets, this has been a very quiet market over the last 4 days. We're right in the region of the trend mean, so this is the do or die moment for the oil price, and I do think that there is scope here for additional upside and a push back up towards the $80 area, and not least because of the shape of the yield curve, or the commodities curve, where you have a very clear backwardation on every contract between now and maturities out to 2023. Natural gas prices having firmed from around the $2 area yesterday are still not firing on the upside, but certainly still holding the $2.50 area. This is the lower side of a lengthy range as well. So this is a pretty common characteristic. We've had a very weak period for commodity prices over the course of the last few months that has taken us back down to lows we haven't seen for at least a year. And we have an oversold condition. There is really quite wide overextensions relative to their respective trend means, and there is the potential catalyst of a trade deal. What that does suggest, therefore, is that there is scope here for commodities to have a significant bounce if a deal is negotiated. Now, when we look at the bond markets, there is also a lot of indecision here. Bond prices in here today were up about 8 ticks. So while the equity market unwound all of its decline, or at least most of the decline, bonds held on to most of their, or at least half of their advance. The bond auction that took place yesterday had the lowest demand in a decade for US Treasuries. Well, that's a bit of a revolt for yields that we have right now. At approximately, and what I think is rather interesting, and I've never really been able to square exactly why this is the case, but if you look at the on-the-run future, it is currently yielding 3.17%, but the 10-year yield on the composite is yielding 2.45. So you're getting very different outlooks in terms of the futures price and the 10-year Treasury yield. If Treasury yields are going to push on the upside if investors demanding a higher return for participating in these bond auctions are going to be successful, then it's going to have to sustain a move above 2.6% to break the sequence of lower rally highs. Right now, we're coming back into an area of resistance, so there is potential for at least some additional ranging in here. Against a background where the global economy has been slowing down, where there is a clear need for additional stimulus, and where central banks have been a little bit reticent to engage in very clear signs of stimulus, then there is this real, I think, strong potential that yields are simply going to go sideways for a while. But the downward pressure on yields is still really quite evident, and that rather consistent trend is would have to be broken in order to really confirm that we're back in a supply-dominated environment. Then, when we look at some of the what we might consider safe haven assets, the yen has been perhaps the most active of those, and it rallied over the course of the last 3 days to break the sequence of lower rally highs from the peak back in January. Well, that was an exaggerated peak in thin trading during the holiday period that saw the price get up to the 0.0095 area. I'm showing it the other way around than what is normally shown because I think it is rather important to highlight that there is a new rally high for the yen. And when we look at it on a weekly basis, it is firming from the higher reaction low put in over the course of the last few months. There is a very mild upward bias to this trading, and it suggests that there is some resistance to the yen depreciating very much further. Well, that also suggests that investors are taking some money off the table. When we look at the second section index, it had got right up to test the 7,000 area at the beginning of April, but it hasn't yet been able to push securely above it. Well, what I think is also worth highlighting is the distinct lack of volatility against a background where we've had a significant uptick in volatility for the major indices around the world. The second section has been really very steady, and the Nikkei was down an additional 200 points in here today, so it is coming back down to test the sequence of higher reaction lows since the beginning of this year. It is now back below the trend mean. It's very clear that there is a sequence of higher reaction lows on the weekly chart, and that is going to have to hold if the benefit of the doubt is going to be given to higher to lateral ranging. We've had quite a bit of volatility in the currency markets, but the Australian dollar is back below the 70-cent level. This is a big psychological Rubicon for the Aussie dollar. It's going to have to push back up in a dynamic manner to confirm support in a manner similar to the other bounces from this level we've seen previously. But the most important thing it needs to do is to break the sequence of lower rally highs, and that is looking like a scant possibility in the absence of interest rate hikes. I think given the slowdown that we're getting in China, there is, I think, scope for additional rate cuts in Australia. We've definitely seen rate cuts in New Zealand, and the New Zealand dollar has been trending down now for the last 6 weeks. It's also at a key area of potential support around the 65-cent level, and there was some steadying in here today, but it's going to have to do more than that. We're going to have to see at least the downward bias broken to trading over the last 6 weeks and a sustained move back above the trend mean. The South African election is over. They are now counting the votes. The rand has stabilized around the 14.5 area, so that is in response to Ramaphosa winning approximately 50, or at least anticipated to win 57% of the vote for the ANC. So that gives him a clear shot at an outright majority. That at least should be positive for the rand in the short term. Now, when we look at the Johannesburg All Share, it had been pulling back rather violently over the last few days. So now the question is whether it is going to hold that sequence of higher reaction lows and whether the region of the trend mean is going to offer support. I think it's also worth taking a look at the FTSE 350 Mining Index, which has been coming down on consecutive days for much of the last 3 weeks. It is now right in the region of the trend mean. And considering that the 20,000 level has offered an area of resistance since 2012, we may see some additional consolidation around this area, but this is a key level now where it needs to find support if the support building hypothesis is to remain credible. And when we look at some of those industrial resources, well, copper prices were in negative territory in here today, but were able to get off their lows in a manner similar to what we saw with stock markets. Now, the bigger question is whether we're going to see some follow-through. Obviously, copper is highly dependent on demand from China. That's also where a lot of the demand growth forecasts are centered. So, what happens in China is going to be a significant influence on that. And the A-share index was down again in here today. It is below the trend mean now. It needs to bounce and do so in a dynamic manner. Part of the reason why it has been so weak, and the banks were also weak again in here today, is because of the weakness of the renminbi. I think a point that will not be lost on anyone is that the renminbi depreciated really quite considerably in 2018 in response to the 10% tariffs. In fact, it depreciated by about 10%. Well, with the imposition of 25% tariffs, I think what is rather interesting is that a 25% additional depreciation of the renminbi would take it back above 8, or would unwind the entire appreciation of the currency between 2005 and 2014. I'm not anticipating that we're going to get that kind of depreciation imminently, but it is quite likely, based on the action that we've seen in here today, that in the absence of a deal being struck or the Trump administration not imposing the 25% tariffs, well, China has said they're going to retaliate, and one of the things that they will use to retaliate is their currency. They have a long history of using the currency as a policy tool, and there has been really nothing to suggest that they're not going to continue to do that. And that is likely to enrage the Trump administration. They have been calling for an appreciation in the currency for the longest time. The fact of the matter is, though, is China needs a weaker currency. The domestic economy is slowing down. Manufacturing is under pressure from both the strength in the currency and also the rising wages. So there has been a significant migration of low-cost workers or low-cost operations or highly sensitive to labor cost operations to much lower cost jurisdictions, most particularly India, Vietnam, the Philippines, and Cambodia, or indeed Bangladesh or Ethiopia. All of these sorts of places have considerably lower wages than China does. So now the question is how much additional weakness are we going to see in the renminbi? But this does look like a dollar bullish chart. Now, when we then look at what's going on in India, well, it's looking increasingly likely that Narendra Modi is going to win the election, but India is not it does not exist in isolation, and it has been susceptible to some additional weakness over the course of the last few days. But that doesn't look like much more than a consolidation of a previous overbought condition. That's, I think, a condition that we have across a significant number of markets. It's exactly the same thing that we have with the Nasdaq. And the Nasdaq was off its lows in here today, but it still has plenty of room in which to consolidate and still be in a reasonably consistent advance. The Russell 2000 having failed to sustain the move above 1600 points last week is well off its low in here today. If it can push back above the 1600 point level, that really would be quite encouraging. So I think we are at a rather key level. Wall Street has been consolidating. It was due some consolidation. We're getting the consolidation. There is the potential that we could have an additional uptick in volatility if the relationship between China and the USA deteriorates further. I think that is less likely than 50%, but it is certainly a possibility. Both parties would prefer to have a deal, but they need to be able to demonstrate to their respective demographics that they have been able to bring something back from the negotiations that they can say was a victory. And that's probably the biggest question that's outstanding right now, is how can both sides declare victory and still come up with a deal? What that suggests is that we are going to be treated to additional volatility over the next few days, but as long as the stock markets, or Wall Street in particular, is holding the region of its trend mean, the fact that that would be quite positive, the fact that the high yield ETF has also pulled back by slightly more than it did in March, but it has also broken the sequence of lower rally highs. This just looks like a consolidation, and it will continue to look like a consolidation unless it sustains a move below $80. So despite the fact that there are a lot of people talking about some really quite bearish forecasts, we haven't had the kind of trend deterioration yet, at least, that would suggest that this is anything other than some consolidation. I think that there is the potential that it could turn into more than that. There is always that kind of potential, but I think that it's probably less likely, and not least because there seems to be a lot of rather bearish attitudes that are coming to the fore here, and that's quite normal at the upper side of ranges. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.